Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So you have that because that's the one thing, is it means understanding God, that's the easy, generally the easier part. Because then you have an, because we're trying to be the controller, so you have that absolute controller. But then how the controlled then accomplishes everything, that's what we don't know, because we don't know how to do something without being the controller. So we see is that the Shaktis, they get everything accomplished. Means everything that goes on happens because of the Shaktis do it. Because Krishna has a desire, and he does it through his Shaktis. So the Shaktis do all the work. But at the same time is that he's the one that's controlling it. So he's actually the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. But the Shaktis do all that. The Shribu and Nila, they do all that.
Right.
So because then to understand that, then we have to understand how we can always be a servant in all conditions. So if he's great, he's God like that, then I can do. It's easier. But then if God is not taking that mood, just that of the enjoyer, then for me to keep that service mood, that's where pure unalloyed devotion comes in. So from pure devotion, then you'll get yourself into the spiritual world. But it works the best, it works nicely within the context of just the Vaikuntha aspect. But you need pure unalloyed devotion to work in Braj. Right? Because they'll always be, they're serving Lakshmi in service to Krishna, so they're devotees of Krishna.
Right.
Or Vishnu.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have in Dwarka, they'll be, because it's still Vaikuntha, they'll be devotees of Krishna. And they'll be serving, under his internal potency, so Rukmini and Satyavan like this. But in Braj, then we're actually the servants of the Shakti who's serving Krishna. Because in the other one, then it's more, the first two have that aspect of liberation to it. Because you're the same planet, the same, your associate, you're doing the same things, you have that same transcendental position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
While in Vrindavan, it doesn't have those aspects. Therefore, that aslishiva apara tampina shnumam. You don't find that in Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? It means they'll have a very high level of devotion because it's pure devotion, but you won't have the pure unalloyed devotion. So that's uniqueness. So therefore, Vaishnava means worshipper of Vishnu. So that's the generic category, right? Then Karshna means worshipper of Krishna. Gaudiya means worshipper of Radharani, of Shakti. Does that make sense? Because for us, if it comes, push comes to shove, we're going to take Radharani's side, not Krishna's side. Right? Because Radharani knows how to please Krishna. We don't. Because if we take Krishna's side, then it's us and Krishna. And now what are you going to do to please Krishna? So Radharani knows perfectly how to serve Krishna, so we're going to take her side. So in the pastimes, you're going to have those who are taking Krishna's side or Radharani's side. Right? Does that make sense? As a Stai Bhava. Like Kundalata, she's always on Krishna's side. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's going to work that way. But the same time is that for the others, then they're always on Radharani's side. It's just a matter of sometimes for the pastime, you may take Krishna's side just to bring something out. But you're not actually on, you're on Radharani's side, because she knows how to please Krishna. No one else does, literally. No one else knows how to please Krishna. She knows. So therefore, everyone in their nature, as an aspect of a particular, how you say, as a form of a particular aspect of Radharani's Shakti, means of her nature, then we have our part in serving Krishna through Radharani. Does that make sense? Because as a living entity, we're a specific Shakti. You know what I'm saying? With particular qualities that we fit in to the overall service to Krishna in a particular way. Right? And so, because you're dealing with the pastimes that are unlimited, so how we'll fit in will have different aspects, because we don't just have, we're not just a one-dimensional character. So there's so many aspects of there. So depending upon, in a generic aspect, that's where we're going to be more involved. And then within that, there'll be, specifics. So then, in that way, in a variety of the pastimes will be involved. But we still have our place. When are we more prominent? When are we less prominent? Does that make sense? Because if you're doing something, it's just like if you're frying something, the frying pan takes prominence. If you're boiling something, the regular pot takes prominence. You know? Does that make sense? So this idea, no, I'll always be there. It says, okay, you're gonna boil the rice in the frying pan. You know, like that. You know, okay, it's, you know, we're, you know, if we're a peeler, then everything will get peeled. So we peel we take the peel off the potato, and then we will cut the potato into super thin slices. But how many times can you use those super thin slices? Those super thin slices, you could take them and deep fry them. But you couldn't use them in a sabji. You know what I'm saying? You could also make that, you know, delphinois like that, you know. But that's it. So it has its place, and it's very important. But one has to understand is that one has one's nature, one fits in a particular way. And who's orchestrating that? That's Radharani. But she doesn't do that directly, necessarily. Background stuff, then her expansion as Purnamasi, as Yogamaya, she arranges all the other things. You know, for the moon to be full, for the evening to just be perfect, for, you know, everything to be all perfect, for the Rasa dance, that's Purnamasi's going to arrange. Because Radharani knows that's the perfect thing for Krishna. He wants that, so it's arranged. And so Radharani, just as Krishna is Mugdhata, Radharani is Mugdhata. Right? And so that's why then the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis, they know what's going on. Like Purnamasi knows what's going on. That's why you see others are going through this and that, and she's not. Because she knows what's going on. And she'll support devotees and doing, like, she's there and devotees are taking on those different moods that are there, you know, when Krishna leaves the Rasa dance. Playing the different pastimes of Krishna and that, and then she will then, through her potencies, make all those things happen for those devotees. You know, like someone's Trinavarta and that, so how she'll be up in the air, how she'll spin. So Purnamasi will do all that. So she just supports the pastimes. At the same time, she's a person. She's there, she takes part. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say you have a wedding planner. It doesn't mean the wedding planner is not there and talking to people and interacting and seeing things and see how it's unfolding and making it all and adjusting things. Right? And so by doing that, does the bride have to worry about it? No. But why is that wedding planner there? What arrangements are being made? What flowers? What colors? What's the theme? Who gave all that? The bride. Yes, sir. So we can assist like that. Right? So, you know, so the direct thing, that's what the bridesmaids are doing, no? They're directly helping the bride. The arrangements around that, the bigger thing, that's being done by the wedding planner. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then going in between, then the what do you call it? Who's the head bridesmaid?
Maid of honor.
Maid of honor. So that's why you see, because that capacity of boo, that's where that's happening. Then Lalita does those things. Like when there's a setting up the Rasa dance, when they come to Govindastali, then all the others will be there. Lalita will go off and arrange the arrangements for the Rasa dance. Right? So that's why then they come to that pinnacle of Radha Madan Mohan, you know, in the Gopinath aspect. But still go, and then she comes back. So they have to finish that up. That's the point of why someone's fanning. Then Rupa's saying, leave that, go get flowers. Right? And it's not that, oh, but I really like doing this. I'm really in the groove here. You know, it's like, it means a lot to me doing this. And no, you just go and get flowers. Why? Because now you're arranging for within that smaller context. Then you're arranging that. That's why. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then, now all the flowers are put, everything's put back. Radharani looks exactly the same as before she met Krishna. So when Lalita comes back, then she's amazed. Like, what? What happened? They didn't interact? You know? And then that's the fun. You know? So now they can laugh at how Lalita is bewildered because she can't understand how, Radharani, you know, all her hair is in place, all the flowers are in place, everything's in place, how that's because they just put that together. And that's why the time is there, and that's why you leave the fan. So that's why it's not about liberation. Because on the platform of liberation, then it's about the experience you're gaining in context of Krishna. So it's all Krishna conscious. And it's all transcendental. But it's about that I'm getting this pleasure from fanning with the fan. But then, what about these finer points of the pastimes? So that's why you see in Vaikuntha, nothing, you don't have that spontaneous aspect. Right? It's very formal. They're going to go from one asan to the next. You know, and then when they move, there's going to be a big band and the whole thing's going to go. And then when they get there, then, you know, then there'll be the, Asanam, Swaganam, Padyamargyam, Achmaniyam. You know, Gandapushpa, Dup, Deep, Naivedya. Then they're going to do the thing of the asan. All those things are going to go to, all the old garlands are going to go to Vishwakshena. You understand? So it's all like that. So they've gone from the one. So even though they've gone to the, you know, the mantrasana, then they've gone to the snanasana, then they go to the alankarasana. But each time it's going to be a festival. Like that. So you don't have the aspect of that spontaneity of just how it moves and all. It's very formal. It works like that. And because it's connected to the Lord, it's perfect. But Braj then has that aspect of sweetness. Then it can move. It can do different things. You know what I'm saying? Radharani is then, Kandita. Krishna hasn't shown up. Now you can have where that's the night, how it goes. And she tastes that. Or you have the aspect where then Rupa, they figure out where Krishna is. Right? Because they have, you know, they have a network of spies and all that. And so then she goes there. And then Krishna's with the rival. And then Rupa comes in and says, Krishna, your favorite cow, you know, calf or whatever, has fallen into the ditch. You have to come immediately. You have to get out of the ditch and all that. And then because the other is right-winged, then, oh, yes, you must do this. It's very important. And then like this, then they go off like that. And as soon as they get out of earshot, then Rupa starts harassing him. How can you go off with this one? You know, Radharani's there and you're off with this one. What is this nonsense? You know? How are you going to get that? Because then the other thing, it's about the opulence, it's about the formality, about that, and about how it's always nice for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many people does it take to pour one conch shell during an abhishek? Right? One person.
Yeah.
Right? And then one person can fill. Why are there five people up there with their hands all over the deities? So no one in the audience can see anything that's going on. Who is it about? The deity? The interaction with the deity in the audience? No, it's about themselves. That's liberation. That's Vaishnav liberation. You understand? So it's glorious because it's connected to Krishna. But there's higher. The higher is Krishna's interaction with all those devotees and all the nice things, and he's interacting with the devotees. They're absorbed in that devotion. The kirtan's going on. Everyone's looking with loving affection and all that. And at the same time, you're having an abhishek. So in other words, the interaction with the devotees and the Lord, the abhishek's an excuse for that. And so therefore, then it should be how nicely it's going to be the abhishek. So it's enjoyable for the Lord in that it's done very nicely. And it's enjoyable for the devotees seeing how nicely it's being done for the Lord. And then the interaction between the Lord and the devotees. That's the important thing. Does that make sense? You know, so in other words, this hashtag, you know, get the mercy, somehow or another is not about Krishna. It's connected to Krishna, but it's not about Krishna. Because you want to get the mercy, what will happen when you get the mercy? Right? Life will go better, it'll be easier, less anxiety, less problems, liberation. That's why we talk so much about liberation, about how it's not important. Because we're talking about the impersonal, that's just not even accepted at all. The other ones are accepted because they're connected to Krishna, but for Braj, they're not accepted either. Right? Hence, the Slishivapad and Tampinashtamam. Now, the point is if Krishna is Kaivalya, right? The one who's absorbed in Ananda all times, all places, all circumstances, because he's being the source of that. Then that means if Braja is the highest, then that aspect must be giving the highest happiness. But the point is it's not about us getting the happiness, right? Because we want the ideas, I'm getting the happiness and I know I'm getting the happiness. Right? Because then we're sure we're getting happiness. But the whole point is you're taking part in the ananda between Radha and Krishna, right? As a servant of Radharani. Then you are appreciating the happiness that they're sharing. So it's about them. And in that, you're going to be experiencing more happiness than they are. Otherwise, why does Lord Chaitanya come as why does Krishna come as Lord Chaitanya? Unless the one who is arranging and seeing is not getting more happiness than the one who's receiving. So you put all that together and you can understand the positions better. But it's about me knowing I'm happy and knowing I'm, you know, that I'm making these arrangements. That's liberation. So that's not Braj. You understand? So the whole emphasis on, oh, that's gyan, you know, oh, you're talking about knowledge, oh, that's gyan, you know, like that, and, oh, this, and, oh, that's this, and that's that, oh, that's not Braj. So then we understand what actually is Braj. Braj is simply, we're willing to assist Srimati Radharani in her service to Krishna. And therefore, Krishna, when Krishna is happy from that, that makes Radharani happy. Radharani is happier than Krishna is happy. Right? Krishna seeing her happy, he becomes more happy. Right? And then Radharani seeing Krishna now is more happy, she becomes more happy. So that transcendental competition is there. So that's all it's about. It's about the other person being happy is the actual happiness. Then you have everybody else who is connected there and is watching that and assisting that. They're happier than the divine couple. Does that make sense? So the farther back you are, the better it gets. So this idea is that I have to be right in the front, elbow my way up there. You know, what? Who's it about? mean, I don't know now, but I remember a few years ago. We had to have guards there that when people came up for the Abhishek, we had to actually physically check if they even had a Brahma threat. Like that. Because the whole point was is, you know, I can get the mercy. And so they just, you know, they just, because they want, you know, then that's the authority. It's not about Krishna. Otherwise, why is there a rule to be second initiated? Why do all the acharyas accept that? So it's just about that, and just being there and being in front. You know, you always have to push people out of the way, this, that. They're always getting in the front. The guy with the camera thinks he's God, and then he can be right there in front of everybody because I'm sending it out to the world, right? You know, but what about the people? And what are you sending out? A temple room full of disappointed devotees like that. You know what I'm saying? So they take it. So all these things, this is where you see these other things. I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. But it's connected to Krishna. So that's why then, first it has to get to pure devotional service by following the tradition and what's recommended. You know, it's about Krishna. And then pure unalloyed devotion, that it's not about us. That's why we see in the Vedic thing, this is for Krishna, it's not for me. So this is for Krishna, that's pure devotion. It's not for me, that's pure unalloyed devotion. So even though we'll say, oh, this is all Vedic ritualistic, it's you're dealing here with the acharyas have given, that's Braj Bhakti. So our performance of yajna is Braj Bhakti. That's why so many others can't understand it, and they go for Vaikuntha Bhakti. And they go to others, you know, the Vaikuntha wall is to learn yajna and all that, because they think they know better. But actually, what we do is way beyond what the others are doing. But it's in pure unalloyed devotion. So, does that work?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. We're Gaudiyas. We're servants of Radharani. So technically, we're the ultimate Shaktas. Right? So these others, they're mundane Shaktas. We're transcendental Shaktis. But it's not that the Shakti is the ultimate. It's Krishna. He's the source of the Shakti. But the whole point is the Shakti is the source of Krishna's happiness. So therefore, we're going to assist the Shakti bringing the highest happiness to Krishna. That's how we're servants of Krishna. But it's not direct. It's through the energy. So, yeah. So that's it. Just like, let's say, just to give an example, you have, we have Ratha Yatra in our society now, right? So it's all throughout the movement, you know, and well established and everything like that. And people will, you know, well, it means, so the whole thing is Prabhupada's mentioned about it, but how did it get established? Actually means physically, how was it established?
In our movement?
Yeah. Means Prabhupada mentioned it, but once Jagannath was there, then he mentioned about it, right? And you see that first Rath where the three of them are sitting on the back of a truck and just going down the street, you know? So that was the first Ratha Yatra. Jayananda. So the thing is no one ever really thinks about him. So he's there, and he's driving the carts, right? He's down in the bother just driving the cart. You know, he's not up on the top, you know, the steering wheel and, you know, the whole thing like that. And he's down on the bottom walking on the ground. You know, they had a system where they just steered like that. So he's the one that made it happen. Prabhupada had the desire. He made it happen. You know, and the others, then they took their part. Then they built the Ross. They did, you know, they did the decoration. They made the festival. Like this, so you don't think about them. You just think there's Ratha Yatra. And Prabhupada is, so that's the meaning of the servant. It's not about yourself. You're just doing that. And you see from them just doing that, then now it's established. So that's the whole point, is you're arranging everything, but it's not about you. That's pure unalloyed devotion. That gives the most pleasure to Krishna. Because Krishna just makes it about the devotee. So the devotee should be making it just about Krishna and the devotees. Who's making it about themselves? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the... Yeah? Okay. Good.
Yes.
Two. Okay.
If we are attracted to religion by a Christian statement that God loves you,
right.
But in a Raja Bhakti we see that main attitude is serve the people to his pleasure, not to think about.
No, but you don't push it so far that it's a rule. Why is the devotee trying to please Krishna? Because he's Bhaktivatsala. It's all about the devotee. Right? Krishna is Gopi Janavallabha. Because for him, it's all about the devotee, and for the devotee, it's all about Krishna. So it's not that it's just the rule and that's like this, because that then takes on the formal aspect.
I mean, if I see that, honestly, my desire not more to love Krishna, but to be loved by Krishna, is it my envy to position of Krishna as an object of love, or
it just means it's where we start from. The point is to connect to Krishna, however way we do it. But as we are hearing about how it's about Krishna's pleasure, so then we'll start to think about this context of that being loved by Krishna, but also why would we be loved by Krishna unless we're trying to please Krishna? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that that effort is put in, that things like that. So it's just like what we were talking before, is that you're bringing out one aspect, that Krishna loves everybody. But why? Because they're his part and parcel, this and that. Their natural position is to serve. Like that. And so then they serve in that selfless service. Then that's there. You understand? So we're not trying to bring out the higher and lower aspects here. We're just trying to point out so that we understand why Braja Bhakti is different and what's the uniqueness of it. Because that will be within the Vaishnava and the Karshna. But the Gaudiya, That's servants of Radharani. Because in Vaishnava and Karshna, they're servants of Sri. You understand? So there's a difference. It's subtle, but there's a difference. And so one should know. It's not necessary that we make the distinction, but when it's brought up, and this and that, then we make the distinction. If people can't distinguish between us and the others, then it has to be pointed out. Otherwise, they're trying to say is it's equal or better. Just like, oh, we don't have to follow the Indian culture, we just do our own culture, it's equal, if not even better. But how is that? That's a mundane concept. Right? The spiritual world, they don't have that concept. The spiritual world, they're worshiping in this context because that's their taste. They want to worship Krishna in opulence. That's their taste. That's coming from the Jnana Shakti. Right? What mood, what flavor? Like that. So it's not a matter of that, it's a matter of taste. At the same time, as we see, is that the Braja Bhakti pleases Krishna the most. Right? Because he can manifest all his qualities to the maximum. On the others, then, like in Vaikuntha, he only manifests 60 qualities. Not that he doesn't have the four, he just only manifests 60. And great, that's why you see is that when Gopakumara plays his flute for the Lord, and everybody thinks he's crazy, then afterwards when Gopakumara is sitting in the garden alone, so there's no one else there, then Krishna comes and he gets out his, Vishnu comes, gets out his flute, starts playing the flute, the place is full of cows, and it's all happening. And then after that, it just goes back to being Vaikuntha. So the point is Krishna is Krishna. Any at any point, it's still Krishna. You can still see Krishna there. And you can remind, it'll remind of Krishna in Braj. So there's nothing that doesn't connect. So once that understand the position that's there, it's simultaneously non-different, but at the same time, there's vishesha, there is uniqueness. Right? So we start at whatever position we start from, and it doesn't matter. That's why it said by hook or by crook. You know hook? You know what is a hook?
Crook.
You know what is a crook? not a thief. It means you can also use that method. Crook is, it's like a hook, but it's bigger. It's a long stick, and then it's got a big thing. They use it for grabbing the necks of sheep. That's a crook. You know? Sometimes you see the shepherds and all that, and you know what I'm saying? So our man of Nazareth would have had one of those. You know, because when the sheep just aren't going the right direction, because they'll just follow someone who's doing something, and if whoever's doing is the wrong thing, you just have to put the crook around the neck and point him in the right direction. So but when you say by hook or by crook, by any way it means you'll grab it. And so whatever our position, it doesn't matter, it's connected to Krishna. And then as we go, then we try to refine it and make it into pure devotion. So don't worry that we're at a particular position that's not perfection, because perfection is actually prema. Right? Perfection's not liberation. It's prema. Does that make sense? So just being on the Burama Bhuta platform, we call that perfection because you're not in the material world. But the perfection of perfection is prema. Right? And so therefore we just follow and move forward. We just keep moving forward. So whatever position we're at, then we're happy that we're connected, and now you just try to make it better. You know, it's just like you first start cooking. It's you know, very rare that the first time someone cooks, it's fabulous. Right? But the point is they're in the kitchen. And then from there, they can improve it and make it better. Does that make sense?
So that's
why we're not on the platform of Bhava, because we have those things. We give that up, you come to the platform of Bhava. Then coming to Bhava, and then the subtleties of it, how it has to be exclusively about Krishna and focused on Krishna and just about Krishna's pleasure. The subtlety, that brings you from the Bhava to Prema. So the practice in sadhana brings you to Bhakta. By endeavor in Bhava, that brings you to Prema. So that's how we know, is that what's being discussed, where we fit in, and we can figure out where we fit. And so then you know what to apply yourself, how to, you know. So all of it applies. Developing love for Krishna, developing a taste for the holy name, all these different things, they all apply. We just know where are we. You know, it's just a matter, we've just gotten faith, so are we taking advantage of the association of Vaishnavas? We're taking advantage of that, you know, have we surrendered and taken up the devotional process ourself, right? Rather than we just come to the temple, hang out with the devotees, do what they do, and when we go home, we do whatever we do. But no, we also go and try to practice that ourselves. That'll put us in Bhajan Kriya, right? Then what anartas are there, then we see that, and then we try to see that, we'll try to avoid those. By having that faith, the devotional service accomplishes all other religious processes. That brings us to nishtha, right? Being steady in that and consistent in that, you'll start to get a taste. Does that make sense? So it's just that the process, it always applies. Means it's going to be both. You follow the directions given by the acharyas, but you also are aware of when you have the opportunities to apply it. You know what I'm saying? So if you're aware of it, trying to do, then when the opportunities come up, then you can apply. And sometimes it'll go nicer, sometimes it won't. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And so that's the whole practice. That's why it's sadhana. But if we just continue with the process, and at the same time as we have knowledge, we're aware, then it moves forward. So does that make sense? Funny thing is, only in India can you make that much trouble with a 50cc engine. In the West, you need a Harley or something to make that much noise. If here, it's like, you know. Yes?
Because Indian students, by watching Indian
films,
tried to convince me that Hanuman is the incarnation of Lord Shiva. And today you say that he has connection with Shiva. And
he has connection, but he's not directly an incarnation. He's not Shiva in that form. Connection. There's an Anksa. He has a potency of Shiva.
Mm-hmm. It's through the Vayudeva or a different Vayudeva. I mean, his connection with Lord Shiva.
Means there's some potencies of Shiva in him.
Mm-hmm.
Because the point is, as we say, as you were saying before, is you have this Samvit, Sandini, Ladini.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have always these three. So you're going to have the you know, is it more left, is it in the middle, is it more right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're always going to have these three. So he has that kind of aspect.
But Vayudev, he's incarnation of Vayudev, and Vayudev has importance.
Well, Vayu is Vayu.
Vayu.
So when you have Vayu with that little bit of Shiva, then you end up with Hanuman. No?
I just thought if Vayudev also has potency of Lord Shiva, why
no,
Hanuman?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I haven't seen any particular connection there of Vayu. Because Vayu is air. Air is, you know, how you say it will be that aspect of goodness. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because you want him to have that aspect. Otherwise, who's going to burn down Lanka? Right? Who's going to destroy the Ashok Van? Right? You know, it's like that. Who's going to defeat Lankini? You know, or was it, you know, when he's flying there, you have that big snake.
Monster.
Yeah, the big monster. You know, it's like that. So that's what you want. You know, this is it's part of the whole thing. So you're going to have that aspect. You know, it's just like Bhima. Do we have a problem that he goes out and he picks up elephants and tosses them through the air and they land on other elephants and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's what you expect. That's why that's the whole point of Bhima. That's what he brings to, you know, brings to the battlefield. Does that make sense?
I ask because Hanuman has Hanuman as a Bhima is incarnation of Vayudev, and I just wondered why in this case Arjuna was made with Sukhadra Devi but not Bhima. Now I understand. I saw this through Vayu potency, but now I understand that he has two different.
Yeah, that's two different. Yeah. Oh, I see. That's okay. Hanuman has the Shiva aspect. He's from Vayu, and Bhima is Vayu, because that's the line is there. But it's just there's a difference in flavor. Otherwise, why would you have four manifestations, right? As Jiva Goswami is pointing out, is that if something's exactly the same, you won't give it a different name. I have a basket of apples. It's all apples. I won't call it something else, right? But you have an orange in there, then you're going to say it's something different. Because it has a different nature. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is you have Vayu, you know, then you're going to have Hanuman, you're going to have Bhima and Madhva. So there's some different flavors that are there. Right? And so that's then going to mix. So what is mixed there? What that is? So it's all the same. It's the same potency in that, but at the same time as they're four different personalities. They can meet each other and interact, like you see, who's it? Bhima meets Hanuman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they have a nice discussion, so because they're like that, because they're, does that make sense? Because one is son of Vayu, he's son of Vayu.
Brothers.
Hmm?
Brothers.
Yeah, they're brothers, you know. Just one's the big brother and one's the smaller brother, even though the smaller brother is way bigger than anybody else's, you know. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, what did we say about this? Chapter 29, Expressions of Love for Krishna. So, verse 2449. Apprehension from theft. After stealing the calves and cowherd boys out of pride, Brahma, desiring to disappear from Krishna's presence, out of great apprehension, glanced with his eight eyes in the eight directions. Right, so it was with pride he stole them. So that would have been one vyabhichari. Right, and now we see that this apprehension is coming up as another one. So one leads to another. So they just keep moving. One creates the next. Okay, so it's just something. Srila Prabhupada, doubt. After Lord Brahma had stolen all of the calves, cows, and cowherd boys from Krishna, he was trying to go away. But all of a sudden he became doubtful about his stealing affairs and began to watch on all sides with his eight eyes. Lord Brahma has four heads, and therefore he has eight eyes. This is an instance of ecstatic love and doubt caused by stealing. 2450. Another example. Akrura thought, I have hidden the Shyamataka jewel which gives wealth and fled away. In anxiety because of this despicable act, until today, happiness has disappeared from my heart. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, just to please Krishna, Akura stole the Shyamataka money, a stone which can produce unlimited quantities of gold. But later on, he repented his stealing. This is another instance of ecstatic love for Krishna and doubt caused by stealing. Right, so he's always on this platform because you can see it's a very unique pastime, this whole Shyamataka jewel. So the mood that it creates and all that is very different from the other ones. Like that. So in here, but it's still all in connection with Krishna. He's absorbed in Krishna and worried about that. 2451. Apprehension from offense. O Indra, as long as you pour rain upon Nanda's fields, you will be despondent. Listen as I tell you something for your benefit. By surrendering completely to Krishna's lotus feet, you will enjoy full powers as Indra without apprehension in your heart. Srila Prabhupada, when the king of heaven, Indra, was causing torrents of rain to fall on the land of Braja, he was advised to surrender himself at the lotus feet of Krishna. At that time, Indra's face became very dark because of doubt. Right, because he's doing all this stuff because he's the king and he's trying to show everybody what's happening and everything like that. But then the difficulty comes up is he's having a doubt, you know, because otherwise any place else would have already been destroyed. This place is going on quite nicely, like that. So he's starting to have a doubt there. Right? 2452. Apprehension on seeing others' cruelty from Pradyavali. O friend, thinking of Krishna living in Mathura, surrounded by the ferocious demons of Kamsa, I am deeply afflicted. In the same way, I feel affliction in separation from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. In Padyavali, there is the following statement. My dear friend, Krishna's residence in the demoniac circle at Mathura, under the supremacy of the king of demons, Kamsa, is causing me much worry. This is one instance of apprehending some danger to Krishna in ecstatic love for him. Sri Jiva Goswami. Out of affection, this person worries for what cannot actually happen to Krishna. This is according to the rule, Anishta Shankini Bahu Hridayani. The hearts of friends are filled with apprehension and unsteadiness concerning the welfare of their friends. Abhijnana Shakuntala Nataka. Oh, okay. So even in the Nataka, they're revealing, you know, because they're bringing out the different flavors. And so it appears that even there, they'll explain them according to the Shastra, why that's coming out tonight. So even though nothing can happen to Krishna, they still, because of the love for Krishna, then they have that anxiety. 2453. This apprehension, shankha, becomes fear, bhaya, in the best of women, because they have a timid nature. Okay. now. Is that going into the next one? Well, here it is. Okay. Apprehension, shanka, so sudden fear, trashta. Okay. This apprehension, shanka, becomes fear, bhaya, in the best of women because they have a timid nature. Right, yeah, so that'll appear as fear. On others, it'll be apprehension. Two 454. The disturbance which arises in the heart from lightning, fearful creatures, or a loud sound is called trasha, terror. In this state, a person grasps nearby objects for support. His hairs stand on end. He quivers, becomes paralyzed, and wanders about. Srila Prabhupada, apprehension. When a person becomes disturbed in his heart by seeing lightning in the sky, by seeing a ferocious animal, or by hearing a tumultuous sound, his state of mind is called apprehensive. In such a state of apprehension, one tries to take shelter of something which provides safety. There may be standing of the hairs on the body, trembling of the body, and sometimes the committing of mistakes. And sometimes the body may become stunned. 2455, terror from lightning. When the eyes of the cowherd boys became pained by the flashing of lightning, they began to shout, "O Krishna, please protect us." 2456. Terror from ferocious beasts. When Vrishasura, taking the form of a bull, approached, some of the gopis began to tremble. Suddenly embracing a tamal tree, mistaking it for Krishna, they could not move. 2457. Terror arising from frightening sounds. When the very wise Jashoda heard the terrifying howling of wolves echoing in all directions, which gave pain to the ears, he kept Krishna within her eyesight continually for some days. 2458. Disturbance of the heart which suddenly produces shaking of the limbs is called trasha. This is different from fear. Right, so you're giving up these different aspects like that. He says it becomes fear of bhaya in the women, but it also has other features. Fear arises after deliberating on previous and subsequent events. Srila Prabhupada. When Vrishasura appeared in Vrindavan as a bull, all of the gopis became greatly affected with fear. Being perturbed in that way, they began to embrace the tamal trees. This is an instance of fear caused by a ferocious animal and of the search for shelter while remembering Krishna in ecstatic love. Upon hearing the jackals crying in the forest of Vrindavan, Mother Jashoda sometimes became very careful about keeping Krishna under her vigilance, fearing that Krishna might be attacked by them. This is an instance of ecstatic love for Krishna in fear caused by a tumultuous sound. This kind of fear is a little different from being actually afraid. When one is afraid of something, he can still think of past and future. But when there's this kind of ecstatic apprehension, there's no scope for such thinking. Right, so Prabhupada's pointing out here is that if you're just dealing in the present, what you have to do right now, that's done this aspect. So that's different from the fear that adds up, that you can know what the past is, what might happen in the future, and all these different things like that. It gives a different effect. Does that make sense? Yeah. Jiva Goswami. This verse distinguishes trasha from fear, bhaya. Manakshobha means the same as hrikshobha, mentioned earlier in relation to trasha. Trasha occurs without any consideration of connections, sahasa. According to Amar Kosh, sahasa can mean without consideration. Therefore, if there is disturbance in the mind and shaking of the limbs, without any consideration or thought, it is called trasha. Fear or bhaya arises after consideration, instead of vicho rotam. vichara te is also seen in some texts. There is disturbance of the mind after consideration is called fear. Therefore, it is different from trasha. Right? So, it has these kind of flavors. It's all within that category, but it's different flavors.
So, Maharaj, it appears something like the difference between sattvika and anubhava.
Yeah, something like, yes, because it's without, yes, yes. Like the fear would be more like the anubhava because the intelligence, and the trasha would be more like the sattvika. Because you see in here, is I think bhaya is one of the 12 secondary rasas, which are counted as sanchuris. But they're secondary rasas, so they're kind of in their own category, but they have the effect and application like sanchuris, like that. So that's why he's making a distinction here, is that fear will be one thing and trasha will be another. Yes?
Trasha seems like being startled, whereas a bias being afraid of something. So there's...
Well, there's also that... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because being startled is, you know, something that just occurs just now and, oh...
Yes, but at the same time, as you see, as here, it can continue. At Miladichoda, then watch Krishna for a few days. So, in other words, she's not thinking about the future or the past.
Yeah.
She's just focused on the present. That's the difference. So the Prabhu's pointing out, it seems, it's like the difference between the sattvika and the anubhavas. The one, you can think of all the different considerations, and the other, it's just you're focused on that only, and therefore, because of that intensity, it affects the life airs, which then affect the pancha mahabhutas, which then, therefore, affects, gives the particular ecstatic symptom. Well, it's not that anubhavas is not also having some effect in the same kind of way. You can probably categorize them also according to the mahabhutas, but the aspect is there, the intelligence. It's like if you're afraid and you're thinking, oh, you know, the pastor did this, this could happen in the future, we could do this and this, but you're still afraid while you're thinking of all that. But here is not, you're just thinking of the effect now, what you can do. You know, does that make sense? So that seems to be the difference. So, because we'll come up, there'll be the 12 secondary rasas explained. And so in there, then we'll see all the... But how you say? Means your point of it just being an immediate reaction, that's correct. But it can also continue like that. That's the thing. 2459. Confusion of the mind is called avega, right? Because otherwise someone may say, oh, that's just fear. And so that'll be in the secondary rashas. But it's showing out, no, it's different. There's a slight difference in flavor. Confusion of the mind is called avega. It is of eight types, arising from dear things, detested objects, fire, wind, rain, calamity, elephants, or enemies. Here's another aspect, is that, now you can see here, that even, these are contradictory elements to the Stai Baba, right? But at the same time, it's even within themselves, there's contradictory aspects in the secondary of them, right? Arising from dear things, arising from detested objects, right? Does that make sense? So you have these opposites, fire, wind, rain, calamity, elephant. That's why you can see is the emotions all these are connected to this one emotion. That means from that, it could go from one thing into the other. Does that make sense? We're just saying this if anybody has ever experienced these changes of flavors in nanoseconds. This is why. Because all these are connected. So it could be any of these. One can be the start, but the other things can come up. Is that, yeah? 4660. In avega, arising from dear objects, standing of hair on end, words of affection, fickleness, and rising to one's feet appear. In avega, arising from detested objects, falling on the ground, shouting and wandering about appear. You know, so you can just move from one to the other. Does that make sense? Yeah. 2461. In avega, arising from fire, the actions are retreating, shaking in the body, closing the eyes and tears. In a vega from wind, the actions are covering the body, walking swiftly and rubbing the eyes. 2462. In avega, arising from rain, the actions are running, holding an umbrella, and crouching down. In a vega arising from calamity, the actions are discoloration of the face, astonishment, and strong shaking of the body. In a vega from elephants, the actions are fleeing away, strong shaking, trasha, and looking behind, right, to see if there's any elephants following. In a vega arising from enemies, the actions are taking up armor and weapons, abandoning one's house and going elsewhere. So you see, these are all standard things. So you can, Bharat Muni will explain all these things, but these will all be known so that you know what to do in the drama. You know, what goes with what. If there's a certain dialogue or a certain action that requires a certain mood, then what would be the natural forms that would go with it? Yes. You know, so therefore, let's say, a vega from elephants, then fleeing away, strong shaking and looking behind. It's not going to be taking up armor and weapons and, you know. Yes.
If we take from previous conversation and bring it into mundane drama,
yes,
can we say that emotions of the audience, if actors are really good, what the actors' emotions, the emotions of the audience might be even higher than what they themselves experience?
Of course, because the actors is then, you know, is using the intelligence, right? While the audience, they're just experiencing it. So that's the whole thing, is that someone's doing something, they get one experience. Someone watching it gets another experience.
Right.
Then you even have someone watching.
Yeah.
It's just like, let's say, the television's on, right? And something's happening. And then you have the child there, and they're watching that, and they're reacting to that.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the parent watching the child reacting to, you know, you understand? So it's all going to get different flavors.
Right.
So as you go back, it gets more and more intense. That's the idea. That's why this whole idea have to be in the front. Otherwise, you don't get any taste. This is, you know,
it's gross, but it is there. It's gross taste.
It's gross, but then you're dealing with secondary only. You're not dealing with the primary.
Yeah.
But the point is I'm saying on the spiritual platform, it's not important. Because the point is the farther back you are, the more happiness. But it's not about you just stand the back for the happiness. It's just sometimes you'll be at the front, sometimes you'll be at the back. So sometimes you're appreciating others, and sometimes you're the one that's doing things that others are appreciating. So that's why it keeps changing. So you're thinking, oh, I get to be in the front and do the things. No, actually the ones behind, they're getting more pleasure out of it. So everybody is taking their turn in all these positions. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.